time to look into the future a little bit. Joining
Love
us
that.
This afternoon, David Houle, who is a futurist, and we'll explain that in a little bit. He's known as the CEO's futurist. He speaks to thousands of CEOs and business owners all over the world, and his latest is an e-book, Is Privacy Dead? And it's very appropriate that you're doing the e-books because that's very much the future, isn't it, David?
That's exactly right. You can write something very quickly, get it out, sell it very inexpensively, in this case $2.99, and you know, in short attention span theater America, people don't pick up these 800-page books anymore unless they're snowed in, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
And this subject about privacy and the internet, I mean, this is about all I know. Nothing is private anymore. If you send an email, if you're at work and do something on your computer and you think only you can see it, you're wrong.
That's exactly right. Nothing is private. None of our communication and none of our physical activity really is private. I mean, think how they caught the Boston Marathon bombers, right? Oh, let's just go to the videotape of the shopping street, right? And, you know, whether the NSA really cares what you, Marianne, are posting on Facebook or what I'm writing in my emails is debatable, but it is captured. There's no question. So there really is no privacy the way our parents experience it and our grandparents experience it.
Is there, like, another internet that is not the one that we are using to use Google and Facebook and all that stuff? Another internet that the government uses that we are not privy to?
Well, we're not privy to it, so I think the answer is probably yes, and we don't know what it is. I mean, there was the Silk Road, which was the bad internet, and they're shutting that down. But if the NSA can hack into Google and they can hack in, well, that's the question. Did they hack in or did they get compliance from Google? But if they can hack into anything, they should be able to set up a separate internet to some degree.
I think people are freaked out about the target hacking more than anything else. Yeah. Those kinds of things.
I just can't imagine that the government, like, you know, is communicating with each other on our internet because it's so, like, hackable.
Well, that's right. I don't think that they are. I'm sure there's parallel communication secure systems. I mean, you know, Obama's on his BlackBerry, right? You know, that is a secure BlackBerry that, you know, we can't text him and get through to him on. So I'm sure they set up very secure, you know, there's secure lines when telephone lines. So I'm sure there's a secure communications internet.
And I always think that it's my life is so much easier because I bank online, because I pay for things online and I order them. And I know that there's such a risk, but what are we to do? I mean, really, is the only other option to just go back to using snail mail?
Like me? Don't make fun of my old school
methods.
Yeah,
well, that's what I was thinking. I was just saying to you, I was writing down listening to you, and you were busy daydreaming, and she's busy texting. So she's getting hacked, and no one's hacking into your brain, whatever it was you were daydreaming about.
Nor would they want to.
Right. But here's my point, and the reason I wrote – so obviously I wrote this – I've been talking about privacy for 7 years. I wrote a column more than 7 years ago, Technology Advances, Privacy Declines. And that's the simple bottom line here. And basically privacy as a word came into being in the 1400s. And I think since World War II with computers, telephones, cell phones, and the internet, it's been eviscerated. So privacy as we know it, as our parents knew it, is no longer with us. So the conversation we need to have is, was Snowden right or wrong or national security? That's irrelevant, except the fact you have no privacy. And so we as a society need to have a conversation. What are the new morals and what are the new ethics and what are the new social contracts when there is no privacy?
I think if the government wants to make sure I'm not a terrorist, I have mixed feelings about that. I mean, you know, I'd like to keep the country safe. It's when you're doing online banking that it gets scary thinking about that. Because that's not just about them looking at a message you sent.
Well, you know, I just had a thing this morning that it just popped into my head. So I have a platinum card on American Express, and I got this email that said, oh, your new balance is ready for your January. And it listed an amount that didn't seem right. So I clicked on to check your account. And not only did they want my username and password, they wanted my social security and everything else. They said, this is phishing. So I called American Express and they asked me to forward the email to spoof at AmericanExpress.com. I said, do I need to? No, just do that. And I already got. So I don't. That's one thing you should never, ever do. If you get any inquiry, please, you know, confirm your statement on your bank. Never do that. Always make the phone call.
So spoof is a department just looking into that?
Yeah, spoof at AmericanExpress.com. I said, do I need to write this? No, they get a lot of emails. They know why you're sending this email.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, it's just like the tip that you've heard by now, I'm sure. You know, when you're checking out of a hotel and you have the card.
Right.
They say don't return it. Just destroy it, because on that card to get into your hotel room there is other information. They may have credit card information on there as well. When you checked in and used a credit card, it may be encoded in that card as well. So get rid of it.
Well, that's why you didn't. That's why you were smart not to give up your Dominic's card.
Exactly.
You know, right.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, I don't. Yeah. Whether he's got a junk pile, Marianne, he was right not to give that up for that reason. You know.
Yeah.
Right. And no, I don't. I agree. It's not worth the 10% when what you're going to get is a lot of aggravation and risk.
See, the thing that always comes up for me as a futurist, people always talk about the technology and ask, is this good or bad? And the simple answer is technology is inherently neutral. It's not good or bad, right? Drones can save lives, can catch forest fires. They can also spy. You know, the email is great communication, also can be hacked into. So it's good and bad people. So if you accept the fact that technology has allowed privacy to go away largely, how do we live in a world? How do you know? In other words, if the NSA can spy on me and I know they're spying on me, I'm not doing anything bad, right? The answer is, if you're nervous about privacy, you got something to hide.
Right. I think about that all the time. That unless you're a criminal, it's not anything that's going to affect you.
Right, but go ahead.
Well, who is monitoring this? I mean, who is monitoring dumb conversations I'm having with people? If you throw everything in the pile, all our texts, our emails, whatever it is, transactions, then
5 billion cell phone calls a day are being captured, right? So they can't look at all that, but they'll set up sorts. You know, we're entering the era of big data where everything is going to be known and connected. You know, the Internet of Things. So everything is there. It's how you find a look at it. So they may have code words. Any email that has the word Iraq in it or, you know, something like that may be sorted out. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing to do is to be somewhat vanilla when you communicate. But that's really not the point. The point is, so the NSA is monitoring everything that the three of us are doing digitally. Okay. What's the law now? The law is, just because they find something, they can't haul me off to jail, right? In other words, due process has to change. That's no longer evidence. If everybody is part of evidence, then you have to have a new level of evidence or engagement before something legally is done.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in the perfect world, nobody is spying on you and you have complete privacy, but it's not a perfect world and things have changed. You know, it used to be you could go to the airport and get there at the last minute. You wouldn't have to go through all these security lines and so forth, but we compromise a little bit for our safety. So that's kind of how I look at this sometimes. We have to give a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know, in that ebook I wrote, Is Privacy Dead?, I have quotes, and there's so many quotes from Supreme Court Justices, Brandeis, everybody about, and even Ben Franklin. If you're willing to give up rights for safety, you're going to lose your freedom altogether.
And it's a slippery slope, granted.
And one of the things that came across, like I was listening to you about all the stuff you're doing on texting, it's convenient. You can do that while you're riding to work. But convenience has always trumped everything. In other words, why do they call it a convenience store? Because it's open at 11 o'clock. You know, why do I use the ATM card? Because it's convenient. So and why do I use my GPS app, which allows anybody in the world to know exactly where I am? Well, because it's convenient for me to get to where I'm going. So, you know, it's really hypocritical for people who use social media, who use app phones, to get upset about invasion of privacy. If you give something away every day, you shouldn't be surprised when you wake up someday and you don't have it anymore.
Exactly.
David, so you're saying it's a bad thing to give it up? Are you saying
I'm saying to not worry about invasion of privacy? It's almost like saying it's a bad thing that it's cold outside. You know?
It is
the new reality. The new reality is that privacy is largely does no longer exist.
So then how does the regular person cope with that?
They have to, if they're obsessed by it, if they have something to hide, then pay in cash, you know.
limit what you do.
Use cell phones and throw them away.
Like in
24, all these TV things, you know, they use these disposable phones. But if you have nothing to hide, get on with your life. But I do think as a society, you know, Obama lied, right? I mean, that's what made me write this book. It's like, I wasn't a fan of Obama. So the first Snowden revelation comes out. Well, we have no blanket surveillance policy. And, you know, the head of the NSA comes out and says that. And then the next revelation. Well, what we meant to say was, mm-hmm. So why are politicians lying to us about this? Tell us why you're doing
well,
it.
Well, they would say for
national security. That's always the reason to take invasion of privacy.
And is it sometimes? I mean, is it legitimate?
I think it's a valid argument. But when you have General Alexander, who was asked by the CBS guy, reporter, what do you think, Snowden should come back and be given credit? No, he should be accountable for his actions. The thing that went in my mind, you got to be accountable for your actions for lying to Congress. Is that not breaking a law?
I don't think there's a clear black and white on this.
No, there is no. That's the point. We're in a whole new realm.
Yeah.
And all of the definitions, I did a lot of research in this book, all the definitions of privacy relate to it being place-based. And, you know, I have the privacy of my own home or my own land. And we no longer have place anymore. We live in this connected space.
Yeah, it's global. And I want to get into more of what the future will bring.
Sure.
David Hoole writes about the end of the information age and the new era of transformation. His latest is an e-book, Is Privacy Dead? And we'll continue. And if you want to get in on the conversation, 312-981-7200. Sarat and Marciano with you, and we're talking to futurist David Hoole, who has worked at many networks and various executive teams and been involved in the beginnings of organizations like MTV, Nickelodeon, VH1, CNN, Headline News. And we're talking about his latest book, an e-book, Is Privacy Dead? This is clearly going to be the year, as you point out, that we address these issues, and it's really moved to the atopic list, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there is not a day where there is not an article or a media report about privacy. And I'm glad that that's happening because it's forcing us to have this conversation.
As Marianne was saying, I mean, who really cares if our innocuous messages and Facebook posts and tweets are being looked at because the government wants to make sure that there's no terrorist activity. I mean, is there something wrong with me that I don't really care that much if they're looking at that? I get that, well, today it's this, tomorrow it's that, but I don't know. Should I be more concerned about this?
Well, yeah.
I'm more concerned with my online banking or my credit card being hacked.
Right. I am as well.
But is it all the same thing? Is that all the same deal?
It's not all the same thing. Being hacked for your credit card, somebody wants to steal your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be a concern of yours.
Yeah, it is.
And it is for me as well. The government spying is a different issue. Because if the government can spy on us, and they're also the ones that can put us in jail, then we have to have a new set of policies. If a bad guy hacks your American Express account or your banking account, there's fraud protection. There might be some discomfort that you have in life. Like, you know, in the analog days, we'd leave a wallet in the taxi cab and have to go do the same thing, right?
Sure.
But it would be harder to do then because you'd have to make a bunch of phone calls rather than just go to your fraud alert. But I think when there are entities that have control over the ability to remove your freedom and they are monitoring you, they have a right to monitor you to protect the country, but they also have a we have a right for as private citizens for our public officials to be accountable to us about what they are doing.
Right, and that becomes more important as this information is looked at. You want to make sure that the people doing that are doing the right thing.
Exactly.
Are competent and responsible.
But you know, I think Snowden's a hero for making us have this conversation. And he's really the trigger. I mean, he was number two behind Pope Francis for Man of the Year, right?
Yeah, which is amazing when you stop and think, you know, and I'm concerned about security breaches and how he may have hurt our anti-terrorist activities.
Yeah, but the fact it's not discussed as much as it should be is he's one of 240,000 people, Americans, who are government contractors who have high classified security clearance.
I know that's
the conversation
that's a
to have.
And that's a huge
problem. If a 250,000 people like Snowden are out there, obviously he's one of the more brilliant and ones there. Obviously, he's very intelligent. If you ever watched his videos and his interviews, there's a 250,000 people who have access to this.
Yeah,
that's the issue should be addressed, not to the Snowden guy.
That's super troubling. Exactly. Yeah.
And then, so you say that in the trends that are changing is that we're leaving the information age and we're heading into the transformation age?
Well, the shift age.
The shift age. So
right.
What does that mean, and what are the trends that we can see?
Sure.
Not 100 years in the future, but like soon. What is changing?
So the shift age followed the information age, and the difference is that we've gotten globally connected. When the information age began, there was not a global economy. There was not the connectivity. There's 7.2 billion people on the planet, and 6.1 billion have cell phones. So 85% of all humans have cell phones, and they're all connected. So what some of the trends, I think, going forward are... we definitely have issues with privacy. Robotics is going to become very big over the next 2 years. And I think robotics is a really interesting thing. It's not just about, you know, hi, can I get you some milk in your breakfast? It's really about, for the first time in the history of humanity, a majority of the species may be able to never have to do physical labor again, which allows us to move forward. And so robotics, I think, will be one of the major things over the next few years. Medical miracles and transformation of healthcare is another one that's going to be huge. I mean, there are aging is being treated as a sickness or a disease now. And I say to audiences around the world, if you're over the age of 40, stay in great shape, because by the year 2025, there will be medical miracles that will literally add decades onto your life.
Always, that's interesting.
Always fascinating to talk about the future with David Hull. And David, if folks want to get that ebook, Is Privacy Dead, how do they do that?
They just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, and just type in Is Privacy Dead? ? The Future of Privacy in the Digital Age.
And if they want to find any of your other material, just go David Hull.
Yeah, H-O-U-L-E, DavidHull.com. And the last thing, which I don't know if you, I think you guys get it, FutureWow.com is my new website,
right,
which is my curation of a visual look into the future.
Let's put up all
I
these.
I love that, FutureWow.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
We did the 3D pen today.
I didn't see that.
Let's get all these links up at WGNRadio.com and also our Facebook page. We'll find out what's in the more immediate future, I think, with a little sneak peek at the Consumer Electronics Show from our man in Las Vegas right after the news. David, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Thank
always.
Thank you, David.
Marianne.
See you down
Thank
the
you.
Road.